Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
We do have plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742. We're going to talk about one element of the foundation that we have in Christ that is so misunderstood, and that's the foundation of forgiveness, the fact that all of our sins have been forgiven once and for all by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm not just talking about sins that we've committed in the past. I'm talking about every sin that will dot the course of our lives from start to finish.
Yes.
Jesus' blood was sufficient to take away every single one of them. So when we come to Christ by faith, we are made alive together with Christ. That's what we talked about yesterday. And we receive forgiveness of sins. That purchase that Christ made is dumped into us the moment we believe. We receive forgiveness of sin. So we stand before God as forgiven people. A gentleman called me this morning, and he is an avid listener of our broadcast, but primarily through our YouTube channel.
Okay.
So he visits us on YouTube, our Basic Gospel YouTube channel, and watches our teaching edition that we do. And he's gained a lot of insight through that. And I certainly want to encourage our listeners to take advantage of that as well. We have these wonderful teaching videos at our Basic Gospel YouTube channel. You could take advantage of these. You can watch them one at a time. You can binge watch them. You can do all sorts of stuff. They're easily shareable with friends and family members. So it's a great way to learn about the grace of God, not just in little snippets that we're able to do here on the broadcast, but to really dive deep into some specific passages. My son Coleman has written a little blurb, and he said, you know, you learn about everything under the sun on YouTube. Why not learn about Jesus? And there's not a lot of positive things on YouTube about Jesus, and we certainly want to help fill that space with truth, the truth about Jesus Christ, the truth about the grace of God that he brings to us through his death, burial, and resurrection. But one of the questions this gentleman asked me had to deal with Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. We're actually going to start in verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So that shed blood of Jesus Christ was a point of reconciliation. That was a bringing together of all that God created with God himself. So sin had caused a separation. This act of Jesus was that act to bring us all together. It said, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. So sin changed our thinking toward God.
Yes.
You know, we see that in the garden. Adam and Eve walked with God every day. They enjoyed fellowship, relationship with him. And then when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all of that changed. They hid from God.
Yeah, they were afraid.
They were afraid. Well, it was their evil behavior, their decision to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that changed their thinking toward God. And so once they were friends, and now they're enemies. Now, nothing about God had changed.
No.
Absolutely nothing. He still wanted fellowship with them, and he sought after them, and he asked, where are you? Like he didn't know.
Yeah.
but he wanted to bring some things to the surface for Adam and Eve to let them know. So they were alienated because of their evil behavior, and that's how we come into this world. But the shed blood of Jesus brings us back together with God. It had removed all the obstacles that stood between us, And now we're free to enjoy a relationship with God. So now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if. Now, that if is a big stumbling block. Mm-hmm. And you have to wonder, why in the world did Paul use that word? And when we read it, we think, see, we've got to do something.
Yeah.
You know, if we don't mind our P's and Q's, if we don't do this thing right, then we're not going to be presented to God holy and blameless in his sight. So what are we supposed to do? Well, he says, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. So the whole gospel message, this whole salvation thing, is by grace through faith in Jesus. Mm-hmm. So the shed blood of Christ was an act of grace, wasn't it?
Yes.
That was God initiating on our behalf, showing us that we really are favored by God. He demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So we see that in this act that Jesus performed at the cross. Now, our minds and our hearts just need to get in line with that,
yes.
In line with that message. So he says, by grace, you've been reconciled, and you will be presented if you respond to that in faith. That's the whole thing. Now, this is so vitally important because the city of Colossae was a melting pot as far as beliefs and philosophies were concerned. And any new teaching, the people, the citizens in this town were open to it.
Yeah.
And they liked to take a little bit from this philosophy, a little bit from that philosophy, a little bit from that religious system, a little bit from that that new age or Gnostic way of thinking, and try to build their own philosophy out of all those others. And they were just making a mess of things. And so Paul came in with the message of Christ. And he says, you folks are looking for wisdom. You're looking for knowledge. Let me tell you, everything you're looking for is found in the person and work of Jesus. And he goes on to say that all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Jesus. So you're either going to accept the message about Jesus, or you're going to fall away and latch on to something else. And so that's why he puts the if here. He wasn't sure. He was making an assumption that they were going to continue, mm-hmm. that they were really going to latch on to this gospel message. But with all the other messages swirling around in that particular city, there was a possibility that they may reject Jesus, may reject the teaching about Jesus, may reject the person of Jesus, and grab hold of something that Paul said would be empty and hollow philosophy.
Yeah.
And so he's saying, hey, if you've heard this message, you know, don't just hear it, believe it. Believe the message. Settle there. And that's what he says, that you established and firm, and you're not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. Settle right there. Put your feet on that rock of Jesus Christ and don't let those feet move. Why? Because this is the only message that's going to save. This is the only message that's going to bring reconciliation to your heart, that is going to change that status of you thinking of yourself as an enemy to you becoming a friend of God and recognizing the fullness of this gospel message, which is that Christ died to take away our sins. He was raised so that he could come and live in us and to give us his very life. So stay with that gospel message. Don't let the philosophies of this world move you away to a point where you reject Christ. So he's speaking evangelistically, isn't he?
Yes, yes. He would never say this to people he knew were saved. He's speaking to an audience who has saved people in it and lost people in it. And so
right.
He must approach it this way. The reconciliation is ours, whether we accept it or not. Right? He's not questioning that. What he's questioning is, have you taken a stand on Jesus?
Right.
And if you have, all of this and more is yours in him. He is the only one.
Right. Like he says in 2 Corinthians 5, mm-hmm. he talks about reconciliation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting man's sins against him, and that he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And then Paul says that we are ambassadors, and we beg you to be reconciled to God. So we see there the by grace through faith paradigm. Mm-hmm. We see the plan of God. It's not just by grace. It is by grace through faith.
God initiates his grace. We respond in faith.
Absolutely. So once we respond in faith, we've settled on the gospel of Jesus Christ as the only way to be reconciled to God, as the only way to experience new life in Christ. We've settled on that. We have made a conscious decision to reject all the philosophies of this world, and we are taking our stand on the gospel of Jesus. That's what this passage is all about. So the if isn't a conditional if, it's an if of assumption that Paul is assuming that once the gospel message is delivered, is heard, and people have a chance to really understand it in all of its fullness, that they're going to take their stand on that gospel.
Yes. His readers would know exactly what he was talking about here.
Yes.
It's our problem in English trying to figure out what kind of if this is. The word in Greek is completely clear. This is just a translation issue, and it's so easily explained if we look at it from the point of view of the gospel.
Yes, indeed. Well, I hope that helps. So we have new life in Christ. We've been made alive, Christ in us, us in Christ. We have total forgiveness of sins. Mm-hmm. That is quite the foundation to build life upon, isn't it?
Sure is.
And as we dive into relationships this year, what does marriage look like? We're going to keep coming back to these two key points, the fact that we're in Christ, Christ is in us, and the fact that we have been totally forgiven of all of our sins, because those two things are going to be paramount to successful, healthy relationships that really live out God's design for those relationships.
Yes.
So we need to know these things. So if you're unsure if Christ is in you, you're in Christ, and if your sins are forgiven, let's get that settled. Let's drive the stake. Let's help you take that stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you're out there listening, you have a question about the gospel, you have a question about the fact that you have been made alive in Christ, you're wondering if that's the case, or if your sins are forgiven, we would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. 844-322-2742 is the number, 844-322-2742. Want to remind our listeners that Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. It's a partnership. It's a team. There are so many people out there that have a ministry into Basic Gospel through their prayers, through their gifts. And so when God uses this outreach to touch a person's life, to strengthen a marriage, to bring two people that were at odds in their marriage together as one, when he reaches out to somebody who is lost and dead in sin and makes them alive together in Christ through this broadcast, you're a part of that story.
Yes.
You're a part, you're playing a role in making those things happen. And so we say thank you for your part, your role, the ministry that you are doing in this great outreach. And we appreciate it so much. And for those who give this month, we have a special gift to say thank you. It's my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. There's so many people out there that have this question. How is the Christian life really supposed to work? I mean, how does it work? I mean, I can't figure it out. That was me. I couldn't figure it out. And it took a long time, but when it clicked, things really changed for me, and they changed in a hurry. And that's what this book is all about, helping you understand how the Christian life is really supposed to work. We want to put it in your hands. It's our gift to you to say thank you for your contribution to Basic Gospel. this month. If you would like to contribute, if you would like to be a part of Basic Gospel Nation by contributing, we ask you to go to basicgospel.net and go to it today, basicgospel.net. Click the donate button and just follow the instructions, and be sure to request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I know it'll be a huge benefit and blessing in your life and a great resource to share with others. So take advantage of this.
Well, we got an email last week, brand new email from Mark in Eatontown, New Jersey, that is very closely related to what we've just been talking about. Can you explain the difference in these two passages regarding salvation? The first one is from Matthew 7. Depart from me, I never knew you. The second one is from Romans 10. We've read this one very many times as well. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There are many other verses that tell us that if we believe in Jesus, we have eternal life. But the depart from me, I never knew you is a very troubling verse.
Well, it is troubling if you think it applies to believers, but it doesn't apply to believers. Jesus is talking about false prophets, and he's issuing a warning to his followers that there are going to be ferocious wolves dressing up in sheep's clothing. They're going to try to deceive you. So be on the lookout. Be on the guard. Watch against these folks. And he goes on to say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. What's the will of God the Father on our behalf? That we confess with our mouth that yes, Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. When we do the will of the Father in those two functions, confessing with our mouth, believing with our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we're going to be saved. And when we die, when we're absent from the body, we're going to be present with the Lord. We're a part of God's people. We're going to be with him forever. So we're part of this new kingdom,
yes,
that God has brought about in Christ. So not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? So listen at what they're saying. Did we not prophesy? Did we not drive out demons? Did we not perform many miracles in your name? So it's all about what they were doing,
yes,
for Jesus. So they were building their case for entry into God's kingdom on their works.
Yes.
And some of them were miraculous. Others were just their religious works. So they were building their case on what they had done. So they weren't confessing with their mouth that Jesus was Lord or believing in their heart that God had raised Jesus from the dead.
No.
They were simply resting on what they were bringing to the table.
In fact, telling God to his face, you owe me.
Exactly.
And God doesn't owe us.
Yeah, so they were trying to negotiate. They were trying,
yes,
to make a contract with God.
Mm-hmm.
So here we've done this, and now you fulfill your end of the bargain and let us into the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't work that
doesn't
way.
Work that way.
There's only one way. That's by grace through faith in Jesus. That's expressed in us as we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead.
Yeah.
Well, we certainly appreciate that that question.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to Paul, who's listening to us on The Word right here in Dallas, Texas. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing okay. Doing okay.
Well, excellent. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was raised a Christian, and I turned away from faith for some time, and I've recently been reintroduced to it, and I'm renewed with this vigor now, but I have this final step, which is I don't know how to truly accept and truly believe that Jesus died for our sins. And I'm trying to reconcile as I'm re-entering this world of faith and trying to embrace this newfound belief. How do I actually surrender myself, and how do I pray so that I can truly believe it in my heart?
Well, Paul, that's a great question, yeah. And I'm so
well
grateful
put.
You called today. I think this is going to be a very helpful conversation for all of our listeners across the country. So thank you so much. So tell me a little bit about your story. You said you kind of grew up in the church, kind of knowing a little bit about the gospel, and then you kind of went your merry way, and now those questions of faith are coming back. Is that right?
That's right. My father told me when I was young, probably around 10 years old, that faith was a personal decision, and that he didn't want to sway my course because he came to believe in God through his journey. Very recently, I've just been reintroduced to faith and again began attending church and really grown excited about what I've been learning and something I've been familiar with but really haven't known in my life.
Okay. So what exactly has inspired you or has captured your attention?
Well, to tell you the truth, I've met someone very special who is very firm in her faith. And I don't think that she's the cause for necessarily my newfound faith, but she's a catalyst. And I honestly think that she was a message to kind of pull me towards something that I've been longing for and been trying to search for some time.
Okay. Well, that's great. And,
yeah.
You know, somebody special like that in your life, and if they're firm in their faith, it really just makes you start to question your own belief system. So I think that's fantastic. Well, Paul, let me just briefly tell you the gospel story. You know, Paul explained it best, I think, or gave the clearest and most concise summary of the gospel message in his letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15. And he says, you know, I want to pass on what has been passed on to me, and I want to tell you about this gospel that saves, the gospel on which you can take your stand. And it's very simply that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that Christ was buried, and that on the third day Christ was raised to life according to the scriptures. So that is the good news of the gospel. And what that means to you, Paul, is that because of his death, he has taken away your sins once and for all, and he no longer counts your sins against you. So you have this litany of sins, this list, and God doesn't count those against you. And he doesn't count those against you because of the blood of Christ. And then that opened the door for the divine action. And that divine action is to make you alive together with Christ, to raise you up spiritually, just as God raised Christ from the dead physically. So that's the benefit of the gospel to you. Forgiveness of sins, total, complete forgiveness of sins, and new life in Jesus. See, Paul, you not only were a sinner in need of forgiveness, but you were dead spiritually and in need of life. And so when you receive Christ, you receive his life into yours. And so you become brand new. That's what the gospel message is all about. And I'm going to have to put you on hold. We're almost out of time, but I want to continue this conversation.
Yeah, please
hold. Can you hang with me just for a few minutes?
Indeed.
Okay. Well,
absolutely.
This is Basic Gospel. I just am so grateful for Paul's call today,
yes.
And I know many people are very interested in hearing the outcome of it. We'll certainly talk about that on
yes.
tomorrow's broadcast. But thank you to all those who support Basic Gospel. We certainly appreciate your prayers and gifts. You can also find out more about Basic Gospel by visiting youtube.com/Basic Gospel. Join us at our YouTube channel. We'd love to see you there. Well, we'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.